Now, here's your host, Tom Donahue, an investigative broadcaster and a man on a mission.
Good day and welcome, America and beyond. I'm Tom Donahue for Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Reports, and I've been getting some really good feedback as it relates to recent programming, actually programming in general overall, but I want to point out specifically certain shows like Cringeworthy 1 and 2, the sequel, that people are, they seem to enjoy it. They seem to appreciate something other than the recycled, the regurgitated, the routine political news. And I'm not faulting primetime host that 5 days a week, 3 hours a day, and sometimes if they're on cable news, even more than that, that there is an expectation to deliver whatever is going on in that daily cycle of political news. But because I'm doing generally, you know, a weekly report, program, etc., I just kind of feel, and I think even if I were doing a daily, that I just don't want to repeat. I'm not going to be a repeater. I just don't want to replicate and regurgitate all that's out there already. And yes, I certainly have my unique take on things. So I'm being a little more creative. I feel like it's a little bit more original, unique content. I'm going to continue doing that, although there's going to be certain specific hot-button issues and themes that I will cover, and everything I do cover comes from an America First perspective. No, not Sebastian Gorka, America First, but, you know, going back to the 90s that I helped in large part launch this type of movement. And I was a big participant in this movement. And Donald Trump came late to the table. But hey, I'm glad, just like like Hannity and Rush and Levin, they were all essentially hardcore mainstream Republicans, maybe with a little edge, that accepted the Bush-Cheney doctrine, that were free traders, not fair traders, and that they scorned upon. And they scoured as it related to those of us that said, hey, you're going to have free trade, it's got to be fair trade. And Trump eventually took on the mantle and actually incorporated the views of myself, Chuck Carter, Pat Buchanan in large part, and big time, Ross Perot, and then Michael Savage later in the 90s and 2000s. And then Savage, of course, gave him the platform and the push, and almost entered the race in 2012, but he was committed to Celebrity Apprentice and decided to not launch officially a campaign. So these are issues near and dear to me. And yes, I take a more conspiracy perspective. It comes from the prism of America First, conspiracy, not believing that everything is random and incidental and accidental. However, the difference between myself and AJ is that mine's reality-based and truth-based. And it's got to be tested and measured in that sense. I'm not going to just say things because, wow, it's going to get a reaction. I'm just not going to emote or explode because I know that that's, you know, going to really rile up the base of support. So I'm just glad that I'm going to speak my truth. I'm going to try to produce content that I feel makes a difference, that is meaningful, that's purposeful. However, I just cannot stomach those in the talk media arena, many Johnny-come-latelys, that, you know, are more or less opportunist. And those that they're really doing this for the dollars and not just the money and, of course, the media prestige and the political influence and power that it brings if you suck up to the president. Now, again, I back in principle the programs, the platform, but I don't necessarily support any man or woman And yes, there is a difference in gender, yes. So don't take it the wrong way. I just feel that, yes, there are men and there are women, okay? Biologically, genetically, spiritually, physically, okay? And so I'm going to be true to my cause, true to my mission and purpose, and try to stay on mission, on point, and on purpose. But there are a lot of phonies, okay? There are a lot of those that, like I said, that are doing this for the money, that are doing this for the political connections, the influence. And I know there's a term that's being bantied about a lot. They're influencers. And I'm not just talking about Kim Kardashian. But yeah, I mean, I guess to some degree I am a influencer. But I do try to, and I think we all try to influence and or persuade people to our point of view, or at least the consideration of those points of view. But I'm not trying to do this because I want to see how I'm trending on social media. I don't give a dang about that, okay? And if you do, then get the flock out. And that is spelled F-L-O-C-K. You could take a trip down Numbnuts Lane, Nimrodsville, or Knucklehead Theater. I know a lot of you guys like those expressions. And yes, they're mine. So if they pop up in another show, I've been saying those things for many, many years. But yeah, so much of my work over the years has been pilfered. And again, I don't necessarily need the attribution. It's not trademarked. Although some people think maybe I should trademark some of my catchphrases and one-liners and zingers. In all due seriousness, it's not necessary. But I do feel that one of my strong suits happens to be my rants. Dennis Miller has used that term a lot, and I have a high regard for Dennis Miller. But I'm not actually trying to mimic anyone. I'm not trying to replicate anyone. I'm not trying to be anyone but myself. But yes, I mean, there are going to be some times where there's a certain term or certain expression that could have some crossover, or there's others that use it in somewhat similar ways. That's fine. But when you start hearing your expressions, and even the tonality of them, and even in the trying to have that same import or impact, you go like, wow, I guess maybe I'm onto something here. I guess maybe I really am on target. So I do feel that my rants, and they're not done just to have an emotional catharsis or to garner a specific reaction, because you're not Pavlovian dogs or even cats, okay? I do feel that it's necessary for me to express myself fully, completely, truthfully. And so when I do have an issue with those that are the imposters in the media, or the puppets, as well as the puppeteers, it's not saying, oh, well, I'm not taking away from the fact that they're doing some good work, and that in this very moment, they're defending some of the principles and the precepts and the platforms, constitutionality of our ideas and the merit of our ideas, our beliefs. The fact is that, great, I'm glad. It would be a really difficult situation if some that were never Trumpers or that were kind of lukewarm regarding Trump or in the early going in 2015 and 16, if they weren't at least defending him in large part, because I don't know where we'd be. I do want to give all due credit to those that, for whatever their motivations are, that they are in his corner. But I'm never going to be a lapdog, a lackey, a lick up or suck up. I'm just not going to do that. When you're right, you're right. And when you're wrong, you're wrong. And that we're all human beings. And if you start veering off the path that I feel is relating to morality, that's relating to areas of conscience and truthfulness, in fact, you know, methods, and maybe just even madness, I'm going to comment on that. Sorry, but Donald Trump does have personality disorders. Sorry, but Donald Trump is not the most truthful person. Sorry, Donald Trump is many times his own worst enemy. Sorry, Donald Trump is more involved in celebrity and reality-based situations, and that he enjoys chaos and tumult. He seems to enjoy the conflict as well as the chaos, and then eventually he hopes to get some solutions and some results, but he could avoid a lot of the chaos and a lot of the conflicts, and he could stay focused on the mission, at the task at hand, and he seems to start a lot of things but doesn't finish a lot of things, and I'm looking for someone that's a finisher. I'm looking for someone that's going to be results-oriented, that's not going to worry about the little things. Don't sweat the small stuff. focus on the larger, the more important issues and ideas. Okay? That's it for this particular segment. Right back. Hold tight.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Now, back to the Tom Donahue Show, putting America first and patriotism in action.
Welcome back, Tom Donahue, Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Report. So glad you can be with us. You know, I just have to say that we've got party crashers, and well, the Republicans have it too, and we've talked about that. But we're talking about the Democrats and Bloomberg, media mogul, billionaire for sure, and former Republican became a Democrat, and most of that has to do with the fact that his nemesis in New York. And they might have been chummy at one time. Who knows? I really don't know, because Trump was chummy with a lot of people, including the Clintons years ago. But at least in this iteration, that they are feuding. And so little Mikey, well, actually, he's 78, 77, you know, whatever. He's definitely very late 70s. And I think... you know, he and Bernie Sanders are in the same age range. And so we've got a lot of folks in the 70s. We're not talking about the 70s back in the 1970s, but we're talking about over 70 years of age. So you have this party crasher, the Democrats. Mikey come lately to the party, and he's going to throw $30 million plus into advertising in battleground states. And really what this is to weaken Trump. He knows he has no chance to become the nominee. He knows he has no chance. And people will say, well, they said that about Trump. Yeah, but Trump had personality. He had great name recognition. He has stage presence. He knows how to fight. At least we know for sure, not just WWE, which he was a participant, but we're talking about fighting politically. You know, fighting through the media. Bloomberg is too much of a gentleman. At least so he portrays himself. And here he's on an apology tour, similar to Obama, and saying that he should have never instituted stop and frisk. Well, it worked. It still works, and not just on the TV show Blue Bloods. So it's just amazing to me how people will suck up. And that will, you know, fold, you know, like a folding chair or like an accordion when it comes to, acquiescing, straying from their values and their, and the things that were actual accomplishments at one time. So he's late to the party. He's a party crasher, and it's all to dethrone, you know, to upend, to unseat President Trump. It has nothing to do with an agenda. It has nothing to do with the fact that he's a contender, because he's not a contender. And he's not going to be a combatant. And then how about this other billionaire, Tom Strayer? What a weirdo he is. And I have to say that SNL, Saturday Night Live, portrayed him pretty well in the Democrat, at least the reenactment, and their comedic approach to the last Democrat debate. So it's pretty amazing to me that you've got these, you know, remember all the attacks Trump came under where he's out of touch and he's this billionaire, and he actually is much more relatable than these other two known billionaires that are now part of the presidential race and they are declared candidates. But yeah, Tom Strayer and Michael Bloomberg. So it's getting more and more interesting. You know, on the Republican side, of course, you know, you have radio talk host and former congressman representative from the Illinois, Joe Walsh. And, you know, I mean, come on. I mean, this guy, kind of one of those hyper kind of guys, one of these guys that speed talks almost, and he's just a loud mouth, a big mouth. And some might say about Trump, but Trump isn't always that way. Somebody is more measured in the way he comports himself and the way he conducts himself. So, but yeah, Joe Walsh, I always thought he was a creepy guy. I mean, Salem liked him for a while there until he became too anti-Trump. And then, of course, a declared candidacy. But yeah, I mean, he has no chance, no shot. And then what was the other one? Mark Sanford, you know, remember he was the one that was chasing after, I think he left his marriage and was on the Appalachian Trail. And then he was there in, was it Argentina or whatever? I don't know. The woman he had the affair with, you know, these guys, you know, they have no shot at unseating Trump. And the Republican Party is basically saying through acclamation that we're not even going to have, you know, certain primaries in certain states because it's, you know, it's just comical and worthless. And so there's not even a reason for him to actually have to campaign and be in a so-called political struggle or battle or contest. So yeah, I just wanted to chime in on some of these, latest political developments. Oh, and I left out, the third one. And this actually plays into, an article from the New York Times. In quotations, as the Three Musketeers or the Three Stooges, Republicans running against Trump may fall in between. Well, you know, it's kind of amazing because you would think that the New York Times, you know, the leftist mainstream, you know, press, the progressive press, the partisan press, would want to do anything they could, and they probably will at some point, to bolster these three candidates. Running against Trump and anything to undermine him, because they are out to destroy him and certainly to derail his candidacy in any way, shape, or form. But the third amigo or musketeer or stooge is Bill Weld. And some of you may be aware of Bill Weld, you know, from a senator prior to, and I think he also was a governor from the great state of Massachusetts. So a Republican in name only, and someone that you know, was moderate if not liberal, to say the least. You have Bill Weld, Mark Sanford, who I mentioned earlier, former governor, Republican governor from the great state of South Carolina. And, you know, I mean, what a strange tale, and life story that this guy has. So you have Mark Sanford from South Carolina, Bill Weld from Massachusetts, and Joe Walsh from Chicago, Illinois. And all three, and again, I was glad I did a little more research before concluding with this segment, but the Three Musketeers or the Three Stooges. And so, it's pretty laughable. And then you have, as I mentioned, Bloomberg, who really was a Republican up until he decided to run against Donald Trump. And again, he would fit into this mode of being very moderate, left-leaning Republican. But Trump will demolish the Three Musketeers or the Three Stooges, or as the New York Times says, Republicans running against Trump may fall in between. So they're actually saying that they could be Musketeers or Stooges, but certainly knuckleheads to even consider going up against the Teflon Don. And that's all I have to say about this. Quick time out here. More to come. Tom Donahue Show. Tom Donahue Reports. Right back.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Let's get back to the Tom Donahue Show. Always authentic, independent-minded, and truth-seeking.
Welcome back, Tom Donahue, Tom Donahue Reports, Tom Donahue Show. So glad you can be with us. I just want to elaborate further on the concept that I have theorized, and that is Trump fatigue syndrome. Now, the flip side of that is we can have impeachment fatigue syndrome or Inquisition fatigue syndrome or witch hunt fatigue syndrome, and just radicalize a Dem syndrome. And so let me break it down for you a little bit further. And no, I'm not going to unpack it because you unpack boxes, okay, and luggage. I just, some of these terms that people, they hear it from somebody through the grapevine, through, you know, the media chatterboxes, and everybody starts using these certain terms. And I don't, okay? So there are just certain things I just don't like. But let me get back to what's really important here. And that is, I think people, and I think you probably experienced this, well, that we're in the holiday season and Thanksgiving has passed. I'm sure many of you tried to put politics aside or maybe even got into a rant and a rumble. I mean, it's possible. I mean, it happened across America and the planet. There is a great divide, there is a great rift, and there's tremendous amount of animus and animosity and angst, unfortunately. And so much of it is actually coming from the left and not from the right, and not from independents at large, or by and large. So when you look at it from the flip side, and you have people that are saying, you know what, every little thing Trump does you want to impeach him for, you know, and you want to disagree with him. And you want to combat, and you want to negate. Speaking of syndromes, it's Trump derangement syndrome. Has Trump been a perfect president? No. Are any of us perfect? No. The fact of the matter is that I've talked about Trump's personality disorders and his dysfunctionality and the fact he does lack executive leadership skills, no matter what he thinks as a CEO, as a company owner. But anyway, as the chief executive of the Trump Organization and all the companies and whatnot. But the crux of the matter here is that he's not been a great executive as it relates to the president of the United States. I know that the sycophants, I know that those that are part of the Fox flock, for the most part, those that can see no flaws and are in complete denial and delusional in terms of where Trump does come up short or where Trump misses the mark or where Trump actually, you know, is his own worst enemy. We have to be cognizant of that. We have to, you know, recognize that. We have to better his situation. And I think if there were enough hosts that were putting out constructive critiques, you know, and there are certain ones that have his ear, maybe he would make certain changes. But unfortunately, when you have the Fox fawning media, except for a few cuckoo birds, and they're not even doing it constructively, you know, they're just trying to make a name for themselves. If he listened to Savage more closely, if Hannity were able to give him a little bit more of a critical analysis or Rush, it would be very helpful. But it's not going to happen because they're afraid that Trump would turn on them. They're afraid that Trump wouldn't give them the access that and continue with the exposure and the notoriety. So you want to talk about quid pro quo? You have that, you know, and they're afraid to lose that. But you know, a true friend, a true colleague, a true partner, you know, you share the good, the bad, and the ugly, and you confront one another, and you challenge one another. And unfortunately, that's not what Trump wants to hear, and that's not what Trump wants to know. And apparently, these people are scared to say anything that's in disagreement or that's you know that could put them in the doghouse. So back to this flip side, you know, the nation might be wearing on the fact that Trump is so volatile, and he seems to, for whatever reasons, embrace conflict and chaos. I think people are saying, okay, Trump, you are also responsible for some of this. It's not just the Dems and their hatred and their vile nature, but it's also the fact that you helped create Animal House, you know, in Chaos City, and sometimes Kitty City, okay? But the Democrats, on the other hand, when you just want to attack and attack and attack, and you really don't want to get anything done, and you don't want to give Trump credit for anything, and there's a lot to give him credit for, you know, that's pretty sad and pretty sickening. And I think there's many people out there beyond just Republicans and just beyond independents that are saying, you know what? You're not fair-handed here. You're not fair-minded. And this is mistreatment. This is overreach. And whether it's the Inquisition, which really is the impeachment, whether it's the Russia hoax, whether it's these numerous investigations in conjunction with the deep state, the dark state, the New World Order, and the Hillary, you know, the hellish Hillary mob, people are going, you know what? Life is a little bit better with this president, maybe even a lot better for some. And that there is a sense of optimism in many ways, and that there have been some good things that have been accomplished. And quite frankly, you know, we don't want to put in someone that's so radicalized. We don't want to put in someone that is going to tear down the good that's been done, that's going to reach further into our pockets and control more of our lives. And also, we don't want to be internationalized. We don't want to be globalized. You know, we really want to focus on local and state and national. And yes, we want to build bridges, but we don't want to have UN helmets on our soil. You know, we don't want to have imbalances of trade. We don't want to have other countries abusing us and reaching deeper into our financial pockets. So I think that beyond Trump fatigue syndrome, you have really this Democrat impeachment, Inquisition, witch hunt, syndrome as well, that, you know, in terms of fatigue syndrome. So really, in some ways, it's like, which fatigue syndrome is going to win out in the long run? And I have to tell you that if Trump were to scale back some of the chaos, and if he got it more organized and more strategic, and didn't sweat the small stuff, and only focused on the larger picture, and continued to add to his accomplishments, I think we'd be, well, first of all, we'd be a better nation. We would have a likelihood of a landslide in the presidential race. And so I'm really hoping that Trump gets with the program. And I'm hoping that more Americans are awakened to the fact this Democrat Party and these radicalized nitwits that are running for the highest office in the land to set us back in every which way. Really, you know, we want to talk about Obama transforming the country. These radicalized ones would go beyond any Obama actions. And just imagine all those executive orders that have been rescinded. They would come back, all those policies, and then some, the globalization, the stronger federal reach. It would really be so burdensome and so smothering Big Brother and Big Sister through, you know, the loony, liberal, radicalized, progressive, demented and demonic party that it's become, sadly to say that, but that's really the stark reality. So anyway, it's going to be interesting to see what fatigue syndrome wins out, and I think it's going to play a huge role, either knowingly or subliminally or subconsciously, inadvertently, but nevertheless, I think it, you know, it is a factor. It's real. I'm Tom Donahue. More to come. Hold tight. Right back.
Music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Now, back to the Tom Donahue Show, liberty-loving and freedom-fighting.
Welcome back, Tom Donahue, Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Report. So glad you are with us. I've been contemplating and pondering the fact that we may have Trump fatigue syndrome. We may also have impeachment fatigue syndrome. We may just have politics fatigue syndrome. And sometimes a candidate can win by default because they're just not interested in being overwhelmed and deluged with more political stuff. So I think people are getting, quite frankly, and I said fatigue syndrome, you know, they're being burnt out, okay? Overwhelmed, overloaded, they're starting to short circuit. I feel like that I'm an analyst here as well as a commentator because the way I'm producing these programs. But the whole point is that holding people accountable, left, right, in between, here, there, anywhere, everywhere, I think is important. So we're not part of the fawning media, and we're not part of the fake and fraudulent media. So what I try to do here, and I think those of you that listen, you know, on a consistent and continual basis, I think that you'll find that I live up to that standard. I was giving some more thought to the fact that Trump does have certain personality disorders. There is obviously some psychological impairment because, and here's another recent example. How, besides Giuliani, I don't even want to talk about that stooge. And I'm glad that Steve Hilton on Fox News does a weekend program, you know, just said, fire this guy, get rid of him. So here's Trump saying, they're asking Trump at NATO, the NATO meeting and other times as well, have you ever met Prince Andrew? And Trump says he never met him. I mean, how do you not remember meeting a prince, okay, of the British royal family? And there's pictures, and I mean, you had dinner with them. Even Epstein was there too. Yeah, we'll get to that in a moment. As a president, beyond Mar-a-Lago, and beyond events in New York City, how do you not remember the year prior when Prince Andrew was there with the Queen and the other royals? I just don't understand how Trump just immediately just says, "I don't know the person, never met him," and he's done this repeatedly. With various other people. And I mean, why not just say, well, let me think about that for a moment. Or if you do think or contemplate that for a moment, why not just simply say, I do recall meeting the person. I don't really know him that well. And again, I don't care how he characterizes the meeting. It's part of his dishonest and dishonorable nature. But let's just say as a person, as a personality, I have to tell you, quite frankly, I would not want to be a friend of Donald Trump. I would not want to really know him. I find him quite repugnant as a person, okay? But there are times where you see him sitting there, you know, and maybe it's a political event or it's foreign dignitaries or, you know, leaders. And he comes off sometimes very cool, calm, collected, measured. And then we have these people that are talking behind Trump's back, and they get picked up on a hot mic, or maybe someone reads the lips, I don't know, but and they're ridiculing Trump. And if I were Trump, I'd just say, you know what, I'm the president of the United States, and they're not, okay? And yeah, they might be presidents or premiers or whatever from generally much smaller countries and less influential countries. If they're jealous or if they want to be petty, that's on them. You know, I have more important things. You know, why can't Trump take the high road many times? Or as Reagan would use certain, you know, humorous phrases. Reagan generally didn't let people get under his skin, and that's why people loved Reagan, was because he just had a way, and it wasn't a regal way. It was just, or a Romney way. It just was, for the most part, he could just get his point across. So yeah, Trump loves being flamboyant, and he loves being in the spotlight, and he loves the celebrity status. But he's the president of the United States. He's not supposed to be part of a social influencer like a Kim Kardashian. He's not supposed to be competing with actors and actresses and fake news and fawning news. But I just would like to see him stand up and act more presidential, or at least just be more adult-like and more mature. That doesn't mean you shouldn't have the you know, that fight and the courage of your convictions and show your strength and your prowess when it's appropriate. You just have to prioritize, man. I mean, you just got to be more strategic and just be more honorable and just be more honest and just, you know, admit to faults and failings and just, you know, be laser focused on the work at hand, you know, the things that you have committed to, have pledged to. That's all we're asking, as presidential, as forthright, and as honorable as possible. You know, just keep chopping, just keep working, just keep accomplishing. every which way, avoid the petty feuds, okay? Try not to get yourself in so much hot water and quicksand, you know? I mean, because you're dealing with demons and you're dealing with despicable and disgraceful, un-American politicians and media really are behind enemy lines there because they really become the enemy of the American Republic. That's all I have for this week. Have a great week. Till we meet again, I'm Tom Donahue.
Love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on 24/7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.